You know I've been pitching you now for a month. I love you too. Come on, brother, get to Vegas.
Thanks, man. I know it's been a lot of patience for me. And obviously being where I've been for 20 years, it's been an amazing experience. And I don't know what the future holds right now. I'm just trying to be patient through this process, my first time going through it. And in the meantime, I'm going to spend a lot of time with my family over the next 10, 12 days. And we got a little vacation plan, which I'm looking forward to.
Tom Brady talking to UFC President Dana White there about the odds that he leaves New England and the Patriots for Las Vegas and the Raiders. Brady seems to be dropping all kinds of hints about his next career move as NFL fans and analysts gobble it all up as if it's a trail of breadcrumbs. Today, Bill Barnwell breaks down the many ways this Patriots-Brady saga could go. I'm Jason Fitz. It's Monday, March 9th. This is ESPN Daily, presented by ADT. Bill Barnwell. Bill, how are you doing today?
Hey, Fitz, how are you?
I'm spectacular, and I'm excited to talk to you about something new, fresh, exciting, nobody's ever heard about before, Tom Brady.
Oh.
Are there any updates right now to Brady's mindset at this point, and what destination might be most alluring to him?
I mean, there's always these sort of rumors popping up.
Bill Barnwell is a senior writer for ESPN and host of The Bill Barnwell Show.
Honestly, what I think is happening is we're seeing Tom Brady maximizing his leverage in advance of March 18th, which is going to serve realistically as a deadline for the Patriots. But let's just say Brady does leave on March 18th when the NFL league year begins. There are five teams who I think are the most likely suitors. And when you run through them, I think it's pretty clear which one is going to interest Brady. The Colts and the Chargers, we'll start there. They both need starting quarterbacks. The Chargers need a 10-pole attraction for their new stadium, as do the Raiders, who are moving to Las Vegas, if you have not heard, and are desperately interested in making a splash under John Gruden. Each of these teams can offer enormous deals to Brady with multiple guaranteed years. The money is not a problem, but they each have flaws. The Chargers have a porous offensive line. The Raiders seem far from contention, and the Colts lack weapons on offense. On the other hand, the teams that I think would be the favorites are the two playoff teams from a year ago who would loom as the most desirable suitors from Brady's perspective. The Titans, who beat Brady in what might have been Brady's final game with the Patriots.
The Tennessee Titans have come into what Mike Vrabel referred to as the Viper's Den, and they have knocked out the champions.
They have the inside edge, I think, because they have Mike Vrabel as their head coach, who many, many years ago was a teammate of Brady's in New England. Their offensive talent made Ryan Tannehill look like a superstar, and Tennessee came within one game of the Super Bowl. Brady could very viably be what pushes them over the top. But I wouldn't rule out the San Francisco 49ers. Of course, Tom Brady grew up in Northern California idolizing Joe Montana. They have a dominant defense. They're loaded with weapons. They have Kyle Shanahan, who, at least if it's not the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl, seems to be a pretty brilliant offensive mind. They can move on from Jimmy Garoppolo without incurring any major cap penalty. And while they're publicly committed to Garoppolo, Jason, remember what happened in that Super Bowl. The end of the first half, the Niners didn't trust Garoppolo to push the ball downfield. In the fourth quarter, Garoppolo made several mental mistakes. He went 3 of 11 for 36 yards with an interception as the 49ers blew that lead and lost the Super Bowl.
Here's Jimmy going to throw a deep shot into double coverage. It's intercepted by Fuller. Went right over the back of Deebo Samuel to take it away, and that will be it. The Kansas City Chiefs will win their first Super Bowl in 50 years.
That has to weigh on Kyle Shanahan. I do think they stick with Garoppolo. You cannot rule the possibility out if Tom Brady decides, I want to go to San Francisco.
No, I'd love to just sit here and talk about my beloved Raiders for the entire duration of the conversation, but we'll stay on Brady here. With his decision, whatever it ends up being, it's going to impact the entire NFL and the football landscape in general. If he stays in New England, this is his last season. If he travels elsewhere, are teams banking on him to play a few more years? How are they approaching it?
Yeah, I think it's going to be up to whatever Tom Brady wants. I mean, we all know the number is 45. He has continually insisted he wants to keep playing until he's 45 years old. Brady turns 43 in August, so realistically, that's three more seasons in the NFL. I know Brady took a step backwards in 2019 But there's just so many teams who are going to be interested in Tom Brady that he's going to get offers that give him guarantees through 2022. If you're the Patriots and you want to keep Tom Brady, chances are you're going to have to match that offer. Really, at this point, Brady has a ton of leverage, and all of these teams are going to have to make over the top offers to bring Brady into their organization.
Now, the only thing that gets more attention than Brady is Syracuse basketball. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But Syracuse basketball, all eyes were on Brady and Edelman attending a game last week.
Tom Brady and Julian Edelman sat courtside at the UNC Syracuse basketball game Saturday. And at one point, you see Edelman saying he's coming back. He's pointing to the camera saying that he's coming back. As you can see, Brady, very uncomfortable like this.
Edelman's working on his own Keep Brady in New England campaign at the moment. So is that working? Are there any other New England players or personnel chipping in trying to sway Brady's decision?
Well, I mean, it's very high school right now in New England. There's rumors of a phone call between Brady and Bill Belichick. Our own Adam Schefter reported that the two have spoken recently and it was quote unquote business as usual. Given Brady's predilection for destroying his cell phone once every 8 months, I guess it's just good news that Belichick had Brady's new number. I mean, Brady's still on Instagram. He's active. He's interacting with other Patriots. But we haven't seen the team record a song begging Brady to stay or anything. It seems like it's been pretty quiet from the Patriots front so far.
Why do I feel like Steven Tyler's going in the studio now to make a song? So as weird as this is to think of Belichick and Brady not being together, there is sort of a best case. So what is the best case for both sides? New England selling Brady on staying and Brady packing up and heading out.
So the Patriots, they don't have a great plan B on their roster. We'll get to that in a little bit, but there are plenty of quarterbacks they can acquire. There's no clearly better option than Brady on the market. And if Brady wants to win a Super Bowl, hey, Tennessee made it to the AFC Championship game. The Niners were in the Super Bowl. The Patriots are 1 year removed from winning a Super Bowl. They had the best defense in football during the regular season, the best defense of the entire Belichick era. So you throw in Brady's comfort level with Belichick, Josh McDaniels, Julian Edelman. I just think the best scenario for all sides involved when it comes to Brady and the Patriots is for a reunion. But it seems like there's at least some move that might not be happening.
Let's take a step back. As much as we're talking about Brady's future, what's Brady's contract situation with New England right now?
Okay, so this is really interesting because it goes back to last August. The Patriots gave Brady what was reported as a 2-year, $70 million extension. That was not the case. It was really just a 1-year deal that gave Brady the ability to void his contract and opt out of the contract without being franchised. It gave him a raise. It lowered his cap hit. But that deal voids on March 18th. If Brady doesn't sign with the Patriots by 4 p.m. on that date, $13.5 million in dead money accelerates onto the Patriots' 2019 cap. That's the money they gave Brady last year as a bonus as part of that deal. For all the talk, by the way, of how Brady has selflessly taken less money to help the Patriots win in years past, which has generally been true, a guy who was absolutely rich beyond his wildest dreams took a raise last summer and negotiated the right not to be franchised in 2020 as part of that raise. So the crucial part about all of this, the Patriots will owe that $13.5 million in dead money after March 18th, regardless of whether they re-sign Brady or not. So if they bring Brady back, they'd have to pay for him twice.
You mentioned a March 18th deadline. What exactly does that mean for the Patriots and for Brady?
I think if you're the Patriots, there's no reason to let that March 18th deadline pass without making Brady your best offer, because it's going to be worse for you to sign Brady after March 18th. And Brady's camp, it's smart. Donnie is a good agent. He knows this. They've repeatedly leaked the idea that Brady wants to test out free agency and see what his options look like. Go out to a couple nice dinners with a few teams. Go on a tour of beautiful downtown Indianapolis or Las Vegas. Just see what it's like outside of New England. Brady knows the clock is ticking for the Patriots. There's a 3-day legal tampering window before free agency begins between March 16th and March 18th. What that legal tampering window amounts to is basically every deal gets done during that 3-day window. So realistically, I would expect Brady to start flirting with teams, get offers on March 16th, maybe March 17th. I think that's when you'll see the Patriots' best offer. And then maybe the morning of March 18th, I think you'll see Brady come to a decision.
Look, as a frugal man, Bill, I can't blame him if he wants to get some free steak dinners out of you, this. It's the very least.
You would, but you're a person who eats normal human food. Tom Brady does not do that.
Well, I'm sure in Vegas they've got the weird restaurants for whatever he eats. They've got everything there. Yes. Okay. What's a realistic but shocking contract number you could see Tom Brady getting from somebody?
40, right? I mean, that's the big number. It's the next big number for the NFL. Russell Wilson hit 35. Patrick Mahomes, if he waits a year, I think would be the guy to get to 40. I think that's the shocking number, but stranger things have happened. And I think it'd be harder to justify big deals for other players. I think, like I said, given the off-field benefits, given the culture benefit, I could see a team saying, hey, even if his on-field play is not worth $40 million a year, we can justify going to $40 million a year for Tom Brady.
So when the circus stops and all of this madness is over, do you still think the most likely outcome of all of this is Brady is in New England with the Patriots for at least one more season?
I do. I'm just less confident about it now than I was a month ago, or even during the season, when I figured it was more likely Brady would retire than go play somewhere else. Now, I would say it's more likely Brady plays for the Patriots in 2020 than any other individual team. But if you're giving me a choice between the Patriots and the other 31 teams, the field, I think it's close to 50-50 that Brady leaves or Brady stays.
Coming up, if Brady goes, what's the Patriots' best game plan?
Hi guys, given everything that is happening in the world right now, most of us are buying things online. I saw that AT&T started doing two really helpful things for those who want to buy a new phone or device online. They are offering fast, free, non-contact delivery and curbside pickup so that online shopping is as simple and safe as possible. On top of that, they have a flexible return policy so you can shop at ease. You can visit att.com to learn how to shop online from the safety of your home 24/7. Subject to change, restrictions apply.
So for the sake of argument, let's say Brady leaves. New England needs a quarterback. Running through their options, who's currently on their roster as the quarterback position?
Oof. And their veteran is former Browns quarterback Cody Kessler, who was 0-8 as a starter under Hugh Jackson in Cleveland. That's one more 8-loss season than Brady's had across Brady's entire career. Not ideal. The other option is 2019 fourth-round pick Jarrett Stidham, who threw four passes in garbage time last year.
It is Jarrett Stidham making his NFL debut, the rookie out of Auburn, the fourth-round pick. He's in the shotgun. He takes the snap from his own 45, throws right side, and completes his first pass to Philip Dorsett, who races across the jet 45 up the right sideline and dives ahead.
He declined dramatically in his final year at Auburn and really profiled as more of a project coming into the league. Now, obviously, the Patriots have done a great job of developing quarterbacks in the past, including, of course, Mr. Brady. But I don't think anybody has any idea whether Stidham is ready to play as a reliable NFL starting quarterback. And that realistically includes the New England Patriots.
So if there's not much there, if they don't stick with their backups, they could bring someone in from free agency. What do the Patriots' options look like on that front?
I mean, there's definitely more options than there typically are in a given season. But they each have their flaws in their own way. Let's start with Teddy Bridgewater, who I love. He's 5-0, filling in for Drew Brees last year, overcame that knee injury, beloved wherever he's gone in the NFL. But of course, that knee injury does pop up. It does matter. He would be the second smallest quarterback the Patriots have used since Belichick arrived under Doug Flutie. This is a team where typically they want bigger, stronger quarterbacks. Teddy Bridgewater, for all of his assets, for all of his aptitude, for all of his intelligence and ability in the pocket, just is not a big guy. Phillip Rivers is a big guy, and he's leaving the Chargers. And hey, nobody else in this player pool shoulders a load of setting pass protections, diagnosing blitzes, quite like Phillip Rivers. The problem is giveaways. He threw 13 interceptions over the final seven games of 2019.
Rivers, running out of time, now puts it up in the air. It's intercepted at midfield. Picked off by Harrison Smith.
And he takes the sort of risks Brady has typically avoided during his career with the Patriots. And the same argument holds true for Jameis Winston. And if the Titans signed Brady, the Patriots could go for Ryan Tannehill, who, granted, did dramatically outplay Brady last year. But Tannehill's 1 year removed from being a guy who the Dolphins had to pay $5 million just to trade away and get a draft pick. At the end of the day, even though Brady might have his flaws, there's no person on this market who doesn't also have his own flaws when it comes to replacing Brady.
All right. Well, what about looking at the trade market? Free agency, not the only way you can get a quarterback. Who could they likely trade for?
Yeah, I mean, you could start with the team who acquires Brady in this scenario. Let's start with the Las Vegas Raiders. Of course, Derek Carr. Even though he has that house next to John Gruden, you would assume they're not going to keep him around. He might be available via trade if Tom Brady signs with the San Francisco 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo would come available, and the Patriots would probably have to trade a first-round pick to get him back, but that could make sense for both sides. There are also guys who are on the borderline of being cut. Andy Dalton, Nick Foles. Those guys aren't necessarily exciting. On the other hand, there is someone who would be great for the ratings here at ESPN if the Patriots ended up with Dak Prescott. But I do think he's still going to be franchised by the Cowboys, no matter what offers are being negotiated publicly through the media at the moment for Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys.
The other spot, obviously, where you could look for a quarterback is in the draft. And the draft is a little over a month away. Do you see the Patriots possibly drafting a rookie? How do their draft picks line up for this?
It's not great. Todd McShay's most recent mock draft has four quarterbacks coming off the board with the top 13 picks. And if you look at the draft order, there's as many as nine teams who could credibly consider drafting a quarterback before the Patriots pick with the 23rd selection. Belichick typically hoards picks, so you'd figure maybe he has a big haul to move up and trade up and sort of get into the top 10, but the Patriots sent their second round pick this year to the Falcons to acquire Mohamed Sanu. So I just don't think they have the sort of assets to move up into the top 10 to get one of those guys. So they could maybe take someone at 23, but it just, the odds are against them taking a quarterback in the first round.
Well, and I had the chance to see all of these quarterbacks during the college football season traveling with game day, and there aren't enough quarterbacks that I think are home run hits that you would look being able to get a quarterback that late in the draft. So with all of this, as the Patriots look at the 2020-2021 season, if Tom Brady's not their quarterback, do they suffer?
Yeah, I think they do. Even if they get one of the best options available in Brady's place, like a Bridgewater or a Rivers or a Tannehill, there was going to be an adjustment period for this offense. And Brady didn't have his best season in a vacuum, but he made an offense that really lacked weapons and struggled along the offensive line thanks to injuries look pretty competent for parts of the season, especially early in the campaign. And hey, things might be better if they upgrade a tight end, they do a better job of running the football, but I just think it's hard to believe the Patriots will look back in March of 2021 and be thrilled Tom Brady's playing football somewhere else.
You mentioned the cupboard being bare for the Patriots in the quarterback room outside of Brady. How much does that sort of sit at the feet of Belichick for not anticipating this moment was coming?
I have to admit, Fitz, I think he anticipated it, but I think he got the timing wrong. I think Jimmy Garoppolo was the guy the Patriots expected to replace Tom Brady at the end of the day. I think they sort of figured that was going to be the time where Brady either declined or Brady decided to retire. And historically, that's been the case. Right around 40 is probably right around when most quarterbacks, even the best quarterbacks, finish up their careers. But Brady, of course, you know, won a Super Bowl at 41. So they let Garoppolo go. Of course, Seth Wickersham has reported on how frustrating that was for Belichick, but there was really no other alternative. And at the end of the day, I mean, you know, it's a blessing to have Tom Brady playing at a high level into his early 40s for the Patriots, but it's impossible really to plan around when Brady's going to leave because, you know, he's been so good for so long that there was no reason to expect him to decline.
Of all the landing spots for Brady not named New England, where does he have the most realistic shot at a Super Bowl if he goes there?
I think San Francisco. I mean, obviously they got so close. The defense is great. Even if it takes a step backwards, it's still going to be very good. A very sound offensive line, a very good running game, young weapons who are going to get better, a dominant tight end in George Kittle, who is the closest thing in the NFL to Rob Gronkowski. Honestly, should be an honorary Gronkowski brother at this point. And just George Gronkowski sounds like it's the missing Gronk brother we haven't seen, you know, for years. So I just think that variety of weapons, a team that came so close, obviously a tough division, but I do think the Niners would be my pick if Tom Brady wanted to win a Super Bowl and didn't want to play for the Patriots.
Bill, as always, you are brilliant. I love your work, and I appreciate you giving us the insight on Tom Brady. I'm certain it is not the last time you will have to talk about him, but it's interesting to get the information and get so much expertise on it.
Fitz, a pleasure. Anytime.
Coming up, bright spots of progress for women in sports.
We're presented by Marathon. Now, more than ever, we have to look out for each other and count on each other. And Marathon wants you to know that you can count on them for high-quality, top-tier gas. While we are aware travel might not be top of mind, there might be times where you have to hop in the car to run an errand. Maybe you have to drop off groceries and supplies to your family. Maybe you've become an amazing baker and want to drop off a few dozen cookies on your best friend's porch. Or maybe you just want to drive around to all of your friends' homes simply to wave from a safe distance. But before you head out, remember to fuel up at Marathon. Marathon gasolines are formulated with STP additives. They keep your vehicle running at peak performance by optimizing fuel economy, removing those ugly deposit buildups, and reducing emissions. Remember, wherever you need to go, the people at Marathon are behind you all the way. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Here's another story I want you to know. This Sunday was International Women's Day and came on the same weekend that saw arguably the greatest fight in women's MMA history at UFC 248, while also serving up the next chapter in the very public debate about equal pay for men and women between the U.S. Soccer Federation and the U.S. Women's National Team. The takeaway from two starkly different moments for women in sports is actually, in many ways, the same. And while, yes, I'm a guy saying that, it's important for men to take this up as our fight, too. So here's how I'm thinking about it. Progress is being made. No, women are not getting the attention or credit they deserve in sports. No, it's not enough. But as we examine where the landscape sits compared to this time last year, we see a groundswell of activity, more news, more firsts. We've seen a continued rise in voice for U.S. women's soccer that has brought heightened awareness to pay discrepancy. We've also seen a landmark new collective bargaining agreement reached by the WNBA that finally starts to greatly improve player pay and benefits in a way that can grow the league. In the NFL, 49ers offensive assistant Katie Sowers became the first female to coach in a Super Bowl. Even sports entertainment got involved as the WWE had its first women's match as the main event at WrestleMania. These are just a few individual examples of progress, but collectively, they are a powerful indication of change. As a society, we want everything overnight. I spend every year going to the gym in January convinced I can get in shape in a matter of weeks without remembering it took years to get to where I am today. Sustainable change takes time and patience. I believe it because I see so many landmarks being achieved, and I believe those landmarks will lead to coaches and athletes to continue to break through more walls that will create more real paths for future generations. I'm Jason Fitz. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.